their previous successes and hopefully their future successes, and if they turn up, I'll present them with a certificate. For those of you who don't know, we have some very talented young people in our community, and we like to celebrate our young people. And one of Redland City's favourite sons is a young man called Daniel Fox. And he will be flying the local flag at the Paralympic Games in Rio. He's about to leave shortly. I've known Daniel since he was a little boy. He was born in Cleveland. He hopes to go one better this time with his silver medal from the 2012 London Paralympics and bring home gold from Rio. Many of you have been up watching the Olympics, no doubt, and we'll all take great pride in seeing Daniel perform probably the beginning of September. He returned from London with a 200-metre freestyle silver and a very close fourth place in his 100-metre backstroke. He has proven himself not only to be a real Aussie champion, but a Redlands champion with wins in the 50 metres, 100 metres and 200 metres multi-class freestyle at the Swimming Australia Grand Prix in Townsville last year, and first in the 100 metre and 200 metre big entrance for him, I think, multi-class freestyle. Also, that's perfect timing, Daniel. And family, welcome to the Foxes. So, to the Fox family, we've just been sort of starting the recognition of Daniel's achievements in his already very short life, but I'll just continue and then I'll ask Daniel to come forward in a minute. So, as I said, he's proven himself to be a champion. That hot form that I just discussed has made him a certain selection for the Australian team for the Paralympics. Daniel's number one fan, his mum Julie, wave Julie, and his family, wave family, will join him in Rio to lead his cheer squad. Daniel is a two-time Paralympian and a proud member of the Australian team, and we are absolutely thrilled and proud that he'll be representing not only his country, but our wonderful city of Redlands very shortly. He's an experienced international campaigner. He will step on the blocks in the 200 metres freestyle and his pet event, that is his pet event, and the 100 metres backstroke at the Paralympics. Daniel started swimming as a toddler and stepped up to the top competition in 2009. He made his debut for Australia the same year in the Global Games, where he won 3 gold and 2 silver medals. He followed up with a second in the 200-metre freestyle at the 2010 World Championships and then topped it off with a gold medal in the 200-metre freestyle at the Montreal World Championships. With recent medal-winning swims on the international stage at the 2012 London Paralympics, the 2013 IPC Swimming World Championships, and the 2014 Glasgow Commonwealth Games, where he set a world record in winning the 200-metre freestyle. Daniel aspires to win a Paralympic gold medal and set a world record, and we'll be backing you all the way, Daniel. And he will get that opportunity to do us proud in Rio very shortly. He has experienced the high setting of a world record and is keen for a repeat in Rio. He has been in scintillating form and, I am told, is very confident in performing well in Rio. Daniel, I know the whole city will be behind you and we'll be looking out for those colours on the telly, but we'd like you to come forward now and receive just a small token of our appreciation and luck, not that you need it, on behalf of Redland City. For those of you who don't know Daniel, he's an outstanding young man and very proud to have known his family for a long time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll save a space for it in October for you at the general meeting, Daniel. Okay. So for those of you who are concerned, we captured that all on video because we now have got the technology to work again. So excellent. All right. Now back to the business of our meeting, receipt and confirmation of minutes of a general meeting of 27 July 2016. Could I have a mover and second? They'd be confirmed. Move, Councillor Bishop. Any items of correctness, councillors? Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Matters outstanding from the minutes of previous general meetings. Over to you, CEO.
There's nil outstanding, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. The next item is public participation. Now, I don't believe I have been advised in written with written applications for any speakers, but I'll just check in the gallery if there's anyone that wants to address council. Greg, okay. Councillors will need a before you allow Greg. We allow Greg to speak. Councillor Elliott, are you moving the motion? Oh, okay. So I'll just can I just read the motion for you? That a meeting adjourn for a 5-minute public participation segment to allow members of the public to address council matters of public interest related to local government. Move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. So I'll ask Mr. Wood to come up to the microphone. And Mr. Wood, you know the drill. There is signage around the chambers, and just remind you that it is being recorded in audio video, and that by speaking you acknowledge and agree that the recording video will be placed in the public forum. Any person addressing a meeting will state their name and suburb, organisation they represent, or subject they wish to speak about. Act and speak with decorum, be respectful and courteous, make no comments directed at any individual council employee, councillor or member of the public, ensuring that all comments relate to council as a whole. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to manage all of that, Greg, and without going through the drill, because you've heard it a few times, if you wouldn't mind just remembering that debate and discussion can't be entered into, you might begin by stating your name and the suburb, and you can begin when you're ready. Thank you.
My name is Greg Wood. I'm a commercial fisherman. I live in the southern end of Cleveland, up on Thornlands Hill, what they call Thornlands Hill. I got my development application approved with conditions, and the conditions are unworkable. Every other fisherman in the Redlands has been self-assessed. I am not allowed to do just about everything and anything. I have the only OTA plan that's been fully modelled in the Redlands to my knowledge, and the court orders that Judge Jones in the District Court, Local Government Planning Court, put on me was fixed noise and odour, which I did. Now, the assessor went out and beyond that, and there's virtually no way you can work. He's put one boat, I own two boats, two licences. Now, if the first boat leaves, the second boat's not allowed to leave till 9 a.m. Under workplace health and safety environment, officials told me that that is an impediment that is you're not it comes under safe conditions and you're not allowed to work in place a workplace impediment. No one is. Now, I'm a fully qualified mariner. I know the mariner's laws, and they're very, very harsh. Now, as we live in a seaside suburb, you know the wind comes up during the day. If the wind's blowing, it's best to go early if you're going, as in the day it can get worse. Now, you might see people washing their boats out in their front yards or yards. I've got to construct a boat washing facility. I'm only allowed two vehicles to come a week, and they've got to be under 4.5 tonnes to deliver anything to my house. Safe Food Act. One of the conditions are you're not allowed to draw or drag any food substance across any unsealed surface. My yard is sealed. I'm the only one who complies with this, to anyone knows. Now, the situation is that if I want to tackle these conditions, there is a fee of nearly $800. There's a fee for everything in life, but as I said, I've gone out and got the best odour report you can possibly get, the best noise report you possibly can get, and none of these other people have to comply fishing in the Redlands city limits of any of that. Now, as I said, I don't want to go back to court, but if it goes back to court, it's going to be a hellraiser. And it's better if the council, as the mayor said earlier in the newspapers and other discussions he's had with other people, it's compromise is better than, you know, a fight. Now, I've spent thousands of dollars on bait and preparation, new motor, everything, and we're talking tens of thousands of dollars. Our reports, everything. And subsequently, I want to go back to work, but you just can't go because the assessors put conditions against me. Well, unless they're done, you know, like my wastewater. Now, my shed was built to Redlands Planning Scheme for the 1997 Act. Now, it hasn't changed. Now, I've got to apply to Redlands Water again to do it all over again. Probably rip up my concrete, rip up this, rip up that. More money, more time lost. Or anyone else can wash their anything. I like their bait bins out in their yard, anything. I don't wash mine out in the yard. They're all constrained in a food grade approved shed. Now,
Mr. Wood, I'll just remind you've got probably 1 minute to wrap
that's
up.
That's fine. Just on one thing, right? I use Global Disinfectant. That's the only disinfectant that I found viable for the fishing industry that kills all enzymes for up to 72 hours. And when it came to the health officer and the assessor, oh, that's not allowed. That's got a hazmat approval on it. When it came to the workplace health and safety boss, he says, you're allowed it. They can't stop you. So they informed them, and all of a sudden I'm allowed 100,000 litres of fuel, diesel, 10,000 litres of fuel, and 1,000 litres of diso. I don't want that much. You know, I just want enough to work every day and a little bit of backup. So, as I said, my conditions are pretty simple. One law for everyone, not one law for me and one law for the rest. There is certainly a lot of laws in place to stop this in this country, and this council needs to come online. And thank you for listening to me today. I hope these conditions can be worked out, as is day 7 today of the 20-day appeal period. And once it gets to day 10, I'll be filing a court application. Now, I don't want to spend, they've probably spent $1 million on me in the last 15 years. Now, I have the file that is unbeatable this time because I found the file that was missing. So, and it was displaced deliberately. Anyway, thank you for listening to me.
Correct. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Wood, and I just would advise that councillors can't make any decisions. That's the legislative process that the officers will deal with, and you have those options available to you in your negotiation period, as is set out by the Sustainable Planning Act. With that, councillors, I'll ask that we resume the meeting proceedings. Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. I haven't been advised of any petitions, but I... Councillor Hughes, are you ready for presentation this week or next time? Next time?
I think we were worried about time constraints. We'll move it to next time. We'll report on our women's conference.
Thank you,
Councillor
Hughes. Thank you. Appreciate that. Order of business. A move that we change the order of business. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I believe there's a number of people in the gallery who may be waiting to see the outcome of item 11.2.3. That's the Eat Street food market. So I suggest we bring this forward.
Councillors, it's been moved by Councillor Edwards that we bring that item, which is, just get my agenda ready, item 11.2.3 to the beginning of the meeting. Can I have a seconder for that? Seconded Councillor Bishop. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Just a quick reminder, councillors, item 10 on your agenda is in reference to your material personal interest and conflict of interest and your responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009. You have a summary of those responsibilities in your agenda, and we'll move straight into the meeting. Before we take a mover and seconder, we might just have the officer present, if that's okay. Councillor Golay.
Madam Mayor and colleagues, under advisement yesterday from the CEO, I need to declare a perceived conflict of interest. I have no material investment or interest in this program. However, approximately about 10, 15 years ago, I was part of an economic development team that helped the Hogsbreath Cafe establish products out of the United States here in Australia. Basically, I want to put that on record so that there's no perception of conflict of interest.
Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. For the record, again, a perception of a potential conflict of interest. I am a proprietor of an establishment called The Red Place, which is a space down in Cleveland in CBD. And I also have a daughter who works at one of the establishments as a waitress that's part of the Hogsbreath under the funky Mexican cantina. I don't believe those things stand in the way of my making a judgment in the best interest of the community, but I'd like to put them on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. David, would you mind doing a quick presentation as discussed? Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and good morning, councillors. Councillors, this is an application for a refreshment establishment known as the Eat Street Market. It's proposed to locate within the car park to the rear of the library building here in Cleveland. That property is a council-owned property, and this application has been brought forward subsequent to council signing a memorandum of understanding with the proponent. The proposal consists of 10 food containers, which are converted shipping containers, with approximate dimensions of around 6 metres by 2.5 metres. There's also space for 5 food trucks or pop-up stands to operate within the site. The proposal also consists of a bar or a wine bar, an entertainment platform, and it also includes covered seating areas and uncovered seating areas. In total, there's accommodation for 332 patrons in covered seating and 84 non-covered. There's also 9 additional containers proposed for stacking and administration and storage. The proposed operating hours for the use are Friday from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and trading is proposed to cease at 9 p.m. On a Saturday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m, trading to commence at 10 and cease at 9 p.m. and on a Sunday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with trading to cease at 8 p.m. This proposal is code accessible. It's not impact accessible. It didn't require public notification. And that's because generally a refreshment establishment use would be anticipated within the major centre zone in the Cleveland CBD. So the use in principle is appropriate. And for that reason, it's code accessible. I should just note that the decision council is making today is simply a decision on the planning application. It is not a decision on a lease arrangement or conditions of a lease arrangement with a proponent, should council approve the planning application. And it's also not a decision by council as landowner to allow the use to actually commence. It's simply a decision on the planning application, which has been assessed against the relevant planning instruments under the Sustainable Planning Act. So I think it's important that council is clear about that distinction. The decision today is simply on the planning application. I should also note that if council was minded to approve the application, the proponent would have to also go through a number of other approval processes, including liquor licensing and food licensing, and those applications would also impose conditions if they were approved. The assessment report covers the key issues that were assessed by officers, including the use and car parking, noise and odour, lighting, amenity, security, toilet facilities and pedestrian access. It also considered the impact on existing traders and infrastructure and services. The assessment concludes that the use is appropriate, subject to conditions, but I think it's important, and I'll just cover off on some of the more significant aspects of that assessment. So the use, as I say, is something which is appropriate in the major centre zone, and it's also something which would be anticipated by the regional plan. The site sits within the Cleveland CBD, which is a principal activity centre under the regional plan. In both council's planning scheme and the regional plan, these will be locations where economic activity are generally supported and anticipated. And the fact that it's code accessible reflects that this is a use which is really appropriate for the location. Car parking. Councillors will be aware, I'm sure, if they read the report, that no car parking is proposed on the site. However, we do have a traffic report which was submitted in response to an information request from officers, and that concludes that there are in excess of 1,200 publicly available spaces within a 400-metre walking distance of the site. Now, that doesn't mean that all 1,200 spaces would be available at all times, but what the conclusion draws in the report is that there will be sufficient capacity within existing public car parking to accommodate the use. I will note that officers have recommended approval, but with a condition that the use can only operate for 10 years. That condition is recommended on the basis that the use is somewhat temporary in nature, but also allows us to take into account should circumstances change with car parking, as in those public car parking spaces become reduced or not available, council at that stage can require that the use ceases after 10 years. And there's also an opportunity through the lease arrangement to establish a time frame appropriate to council. Noise will be a concern, particularly for residents. We have a noise report submitted with the application. That concludes that, again, subject to conditions, the use can operate appropriately in this location. One of the key aspects of noise would be amplified music, and one of the conditions recommended in the noise report is that amplified noise should cease at 8 p.m. on Friday and Saturday and 6 p.m. on a Sunday. I think there's a lot of concern about the impact on existing businesses within the CBD, but I think it's important to note that it's not really the role of the planning system to protect private interests. It's the role of the planning system to protect the public interest or to act in the public interest. In this particular case, the public interest is established by the planning scheme. And as we note, it's a major activity centre, a principal activity centre of the regional plan, and the use would be anticipated. So the public interest is established in those instruments and the use is appropriate. The market will determine the level of take-up of particular uses within those areas. So in conclusion, the officers have assessed the proposal and believe that subject to reasonable and relevant conditions, council should approve the application.
Thank you, David. I understand. Councillor Elliott, are you happy to move the officer's recommendation?
Yes.
Moved, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. Councillor Elliott, would you like to speak to it?
Well, I was going to say something, but David took all the words out of my mouth.
Obviously, he's been listening to you, Councillor.
No, I've been listening to him, actually. Can I say, I'll just say, David's spot on what he said, and I think, councillors, I'm happy to support this, but councillors, I ask you to stick to the application, not any conditions or leases and stuff like that, and I implore the mayor to keep everybody on message sort of thing during this, and I'm glad I'm not in your seat. Thank you.
Speaker against, councillors. Councillor Bishop, speaker against.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'd like to note that in the first instance I applaud the ethic of the Chefs Inc. Intention of providing entrepreneurial opportunities for...
Murray, I think you're getting a wave about your microphone. Thank you. Councillor Elliott, sorry.
In the first instance, I want to acknowledge that those of us in the council would very much support the Chefs Inc. concept of providing entrepreneurial opportunities for young upcoming entrepreneurs, and certainly for chefs, and certainly in a principal activity area like CBD, which is where, you know, there are naturally existing about 50 food outlet establishments within about a 500 metre radius of this particular destination. It's worth noting that in our consideration of this development application, we are owners of the block of land, and therefore there's probably some higher order considerations that we need to take into account as we consider the most appropriate use of that land in future. We're also the arbiters of this decision regarding the planning scheme and what we have to decide in relation to this application that's in front of us. And we're also, as councillors, we're custodians for the owners of businesses that may be impacted and those who may benefit from the area. And I think while staying on topic is a critical part of our deliberations here, we need to acknowledge there are moral considerations, there are issues to do with consultation and collaboration with the members of our city that we are representatives of that need to be considered in parallel to this decision. Were you about to say something?
Well, Councillor, as has been requested, I will be asking you to remain with the topic of the planning application.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And these things are all tied into our role as councillors, and we need to consider the moral and fiduciary responsibilities of making a decision like this. I'd like to go to a few points in terms of grounds before I do that. I also want to support the idea of placemaking. It's really important that we have opportunities in our principal activity areas for people to gather to actually turn a space into a place. And I'm an active proponent, advocate and representative of placemaking. My concern with this particular application is the length of time going forward is a prohibitive period of time and is not a light option, and this relates to the planning scheme assessment of a temporary use. I believe this is not a temporary use. For example, Crazy Day Downstairs has got 99 stall holders. They will be gone this afternoon. There'll be no trace of them. In terms of our assessment of this site, what will be left every single day, trading or non-trading, will be containers, which may well fit in a place like Portside, Dockside, in a shipping container area where shipping containers exist, but is this the architectural best intent of what we want to see in Cleveland CBD? Is this the sort of stuff that we want to see in a very important car park next to our library that would not be accessible during the weekend, which is a busy time for residents to visit? It would not only be not providing car parks, it will be putting impact on local residents in terms of places, both establishments and residences. Car parks will be at a premium. Increasingly, there is necessarily pressure in the Cleveland CBD area around car parking. We'll be seeing that today across the city as people want to come down here and they want to find the convenience of a park. The impact on local restaurants will be that if these hours are peak days, there will be impacts for other stall holders and the owners of shops, because parking will be taken up and spaces will be not available for those other businesses that do have to comply with hours where they need to stay open, and this will not be a market competitive comparison for Eat, well, this it's being called Eat Street, but it's Chefs Inc. In terms of grounds for refusal, not only does it not provide car parks, it removes the without replacement 19 car parks in a critical area. I have asked for an assessment of what the actual cost is for council officers to park in a car park, because there would be a cost per car park, and removing those, we have not yet seen the lease agreements. And one of the things that was mentioned in the 3rd of June 2015 was that in the second resolution there was a minute that included the words, there's no formal proposal at this time. When a proposal and details on design issues are available, they will be presented to council. They haven't been presented to council at this stage. I think it's important that we acknowledge that we have not seen that. Pardon?
I think we have been presented with modelling of the designs. We saw them yesterday. Is that correct? I'm just asking the officers.
Yeah, it's relation to the lease issues that are parallel to this that we need to consider. It doesn't provide car parks, as I suggested. There will be impacts on residents, and I'm sure that residents don't necessarily disagree with the fact, but because it's a principal use area. But it's this should be a temporary site that should be, if did our planning scheme intend for us to put shipping containers into a car park? And I would suggest that that is not the case. I have put forward some grounds that came through for officers too late to assess, but I've shared those with some of the councillors. The key points really are that the council has not informed the general public about this. We have not taken it out to general tender process. That leaves us in a situation where we are not necessarily taking the community on the journey with us. If I can just refer to this for a second. In terms of the planning scheme, the shipping containers and the shelter are buildings under the Redlands Planning Scheme definition, which is not a temporary structure, and also that the application doesn't necessarily reply with either the specific outcomes or the probable solutions of the major centre code or the centre design code with respect to the following items, which are in relation to the major centre code items S.2.1, part 1, B and C. The building height does not respect the desired streetscape and does not ensure the high quality appearance. Contrary to the response of the planning report assessment table, the development is not temporary in terms of the planning scheme definition of temporary use. It's impossible for the shipping containers to be able to be finished in a manner that is in keeping with the desired high quality appearance expected for the centre. The containers are located on the key site in the Cleveland Centre, and although vegetation will afford some screening, they'll be visible for a number of locations, including from nearby apartments, the cafe, library, council offices, the hotel, Kyling Lane and Bloomfield Street pedestrian link. The proposed shade shelter will also lack having a high quality appearance. Under S.2.1.3 item E, the building height does not support the revitalisation and not contribute to the economic and employment residential growth of the Cleveland Major Centre. The building height is not consistent with development of this site in a manner that supports growth of the centre. Also, the centre will have a detrimental effect potentially on the economics and employment of the centre, as well as discouraging residential development on nearby sites. The setbacks apparently under S.2.3 could be considered to not be consistent with the desired streetscape. The buildings are internalised. They're not consistent with setbacks that provide active frontages required by Major Centre Code Map 5, Cleveland Key Elements. S.2.5.2. The building designs and layout are not do not include architectural elements specified under A, B, C, D, G and H. Item S.4.1, other than existing planting, the development does not incorporate high street quality street landscape treatments, and as outlined elsewhere in this submission that I'm actually referring to, the development will not enhance the overall attractiveness and function of the centre. Noise assessment report submitted with the application doesn't necessarily demonstrate that unacceptable noise will not be experienced by nearby residents, particularly residents in the adjacent sea air apartments. And the report should be independently reviewed by an expert on behalf of council. Under S.4.8, the odour management plan submitted with the application recognises there may be undesirable food odours being experienced by the residents in the adjacent sea air apartments. Odour management plan may not be able to sufficiently mitigate such problems. Under 4.9, the development does not reinforce maintenance of a high standard of residential amenity through the location of refrigeration, air conditioning units. They'll be visually obtrusive and will cause adverse visual noise impacts to people in adjoining premises, including but not limited to the adjacent sea air apartments. And 4.10, the development's not designed in accordance with crime prevention through environmental design, SEPTED principles. The location and orientation of the proposed converted shipping containers will provide many hiding places for people, and it's arguably not an ideal place with our information technology contained in the adjacent building.
Councillor, just reminding you, you've been probably about 4 minutes over, but are you almost there?
Yeah, I am almost there.
Just standing orders are applying.
Thank you. Okay. I'll wrap up with a view that this... Arguably, if our Redlands planning scheme suggests that putting containers, shipping containers, in a car park, in a prestige area, and committing to that for a up to a 10-year period, that is not necessarily taking our community on the journey. I believe that we should use some of these issues that I've identified here. There's others that I've put through to officers. If councillors aren't happy with that, I'm sure we can look at other reasons in our planning scheme that would support us not supporting this at this stage. I wholeheartedly want to encourage Chefs Inc. To look at opportunities for young entrepreneurial folk in the area, but I think that we need to draw a delineation between this long-term thing, and quite honestly for the owners of this business, there's a problem potentially with if they don't get all of the 10 ingredients right to make it work, there's a potential that it could fail. That would not be in the best interests of them, of the city, or of the residents, or any of the impacted businesses. I'll end my views here, but leave it over to other officers, councillors, to express their views. Thank you.
Councillor Edwards, Speaker 4.
Thank you. I'll be much more succinct. If I need to see a doctor, I don't go to see a baker. And with planning scheme matters, I would refer the advice to town planners. And this is simply, the question raised here is, does the application comply with the planning scheme? And the information provided by the expert officers who know what they're dealing with is simply yes. I think a lot of the concerns that are getting mixed up with this is things such as impact on local businesses. Well, that's a separate matter. That's when we come down to the lease. That's going to have all the details in it. I must admit there's things in the lease I'd like to see about reviewing the impact on business after a period of time to see whether it's producing the right results. This is simply, does this application conform with the planning scheme? Yes, I'm going to support it and move on. The detail is further down the track.
Speaker against? Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. It's not so much against, because I too applaud the concept, and from discussions that we've had over the last couple of weeks, and speaking to the more experienced councillors, we very much embrace the ideology of increasing numbers into the CBD to enhance business. I don't think that's a question at all. I think it's the question in relation to, is it also our role as a council to supply land or a car park, if you will, for a commercial interest? I'm not sure whether we covered that, because there has been other sort of ideas where we've sort of taken a step back and said it's not our position to encourage business or to not encourage, I'll withdraw that, to promote business as such. An application should come through, I understand that, but is this necessarily the greatest spot for it? And everything my learned colleague there, Councillor Bishop, has raised hit our emails this morning, and this is a report here. Okay, it's quite thick and quite vast with a lot of points that have been raised, and it looks like there's some sort of code attached, major centre zone code. I understand officers only received this morning as well, and I'm not sure whether they've actually had the...
Council, I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Madam Mayor, I'm the same.
Where did it come from?
I don't know. Well, it was forwarded by Councillor Bishop, but I don't know where it's coming from.
Okay, thank you. Just to, not all councillors receive that, so... Okay. So we don't know what you're referring to. Right. So if you could perhaps get back to the points of
so
your refusal.
Is it our role to supply our land for a commercial use? And if so, should have this been put through RIC? And is there other avenues for that? If we're so quick to sort of on-sell car parks
I'll
or make
office,
our car parks...
I'll have officers respond and answer that question in regards to that.
Well, to make our car parks available... for a commercial use, should we be seeking a higher use?
Your point of order, Councillor.
It's not relevant to the application.
Okay, thank you. That I rule on that point of order. That is, I need you to speak to the topic in front of you. We have had discussions. This is about the planning approval, Councillor, so I'll come back to the points and the conditions and the issues you want to raise in the report in front of you.
My concerns are is that if we approve this in its current form and then we seek to try to modify a lease agreement to hold some sort of compliance over that lease agreement, it will place us as a council in further hot water as the proprietors of that land. Once it's almost like the, this may not be the correct phrase to use, but it's like the next nail in the coffin, so to speak. Once we head down this path, how do you turn it around if it doesn't meet all the requirements?
Councillor, well, you have been warned. We need to talk to, and I've got Councillor Elliott's calling a point of order on the same issue. You need to talk to the report, the planning report in front of you. The other issues will be dealt with, as has been explained by the officer, in consequent applications, etc.
Okay, I'll finish. Thank you.
Speaker 4, Councillor Mitchell.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I will, I'll try to stay on track with the planning grounds, but may give myself a small amount of latitude. On planning grounds, I'm supportive of the proposal. I have confidence in our officers and confidence in the expert reports that have come before us and them in making this proposal. And I think we need to recognise that we are not the experts. We have a duty to overlook them, but we are not the experts in that matter. And moving forward, any matters of compliance can be and will be dealt with appropriately. It's still a long way to go. The devil is in the detail, and this can be addressed by future lease provisions and other regulations. There's been a little bit of fairly emotive talk already within on planning grounds around the car parks, and I too was very interested to see there were 1,200 within a 400 metre walk, and I think that's reasonable in anyone's language. It may be a small change on what we expect, pulling up in front of places, but that's reasonable to me. And talking about the building materials, which happen to be a shipping container when they're on a ship, it's a recycled building material, and let's hope that builders and architects and placemakers can do a great job on that. That's not about the planning, but you know, they're only a shipping container when they're on a ship. So on planning grounds, I'm keen to see this process move forward, and I will continue the good work I've been doing in trying to liaise with business and the community to bring them on the journey in a positive fashion with a new and innovative approach, recognising everyone's concerns. Thank you.
Councillor Boglari, speaker against.
Thank you. I think councillors are finding themselves in a difficult situation today because no one in this room is wanting Cleveland not to be revitalised, and it's very frustrating that we have got something in front of us which could be part of that, but I'm finding I cannot support it as it stands now. I do believe in placemaking, like Councillor Bishop has mentioned. We've done that up at Wellington Point, and it's been extremely successful with the Village Green, with our markets and that there, though they don't impact on our actual businesses, they cohabitate with them, and there's a domino effect by the people who come to the markets, because we try not to have food and other services at the markets which are available in the village. I'm also concerned about car parking. Trying to get a car park down there now on a Saturday or Friday night, you've got to park right down in front of someone's house at Raby Bay. And these local businesses down there, they are existing. They have committed. Most of them are locals. And I'd hate to see them impacted by car parking, by this new business. And I would like to be able to suggest perhaps another location, because most of the car parking that is available, which wouldn't impact on other businesses, is more to the southern end of Cleveland. And we have a space across the road, which I went and had a look at the other day with one of the traders, and they were saying perhaps over there along the cheap shop wall, places over there where it wouldn't have impacted on the businesses of the harbour side. There's also, I question whether this can be classified as temporary, as shipping containers are classified as buildings, and therefore the fact that they're staying there makes it more permanent to me under our definition in the Redlands Planning Scheme. There's also septed questions for me. It's going to be a hidden and hard to find area for people who are visiting, and that could cause security problems. Risks. We have talked about that, not just while the Eat Street Chef Inc. Is actually on, but also during the week with the shipping containers staying there. One of particular concern, and the residents in the neighbouring and across the road units have spoken to me over the months, is the noise. Yes, residents have to expect something to be there due to the zoning. But I think to expect bands to be playing in a council car park is beyond anything they would have expected. Perhaps a redevelopment of the site and having enclosed businesses next door to them would have been acceptable, but I don't think anyone would have expected this to happen. Even though it is zoned as a major centre, it is a car park now, so I do think it is unreasonable, which has been said to me, that those residents should have expected something to be there. Also, the hours I find are perhaps even too long to make it viable in that area, though I'm not an expert, I'll admit that, but I haven't seen a strategic plan or a business case to actually prove that it will attract a lot of people outside by the train to the area, which is the main reason why the applicant wants it there. I'm concerned also about the 10 years. If we could have a trial of a shorter time, but I have been told that it's unreasonable to expect this of the applicant due to the amount of financial input he has to have into it initially as a setup. Yes, we do want to build economic development, but I'd like to see it happening without negative impacts on the existing businesses, and also for the public interest. If we could co-locate somewhere and be supportive of existing businesses, I would have been able to vote for the application. But as it stands now, I can't.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Tolte, Speaker 4.
Oh, there you go. Just took Councillor Gleeson's touch. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I am a Speaker 4. I thank Councillor Bishop for obviously spending so much time working through the Cleveland Centre Master Plan and his efforts to address the application, but I do share Councillor Edwards' concern that the application and all of those matters raised by Councillor Bishop have actually been assessed under the planning scheme by our professional officers who are independent, and they have assessed all of those matters that have been raised, and they have concluded that they can make this assessment and this recommendation. So I'm not concerned about those matters that have been raised there. When this process first commenced, the applicant came to council with a proposal, and for council, the first question was, well, would it be possible, would we countenance it, and how would it support the revitalisation of Cleveland? And we found that we would support in concept, and so the matter moved forward. The next thing that had to be answered was, is it possible to do this under the planning scheme and under the SPA regulations? So this is the process, and we're in that point at that point in the process now. We have had a properly lodged and assessed application, and it has established that, yes, this is possible under our planning scheme, and it is has all been covered off from a regulatory perspective. The building regulations will come into play in the next phase of their construction, and that will address all of those matters to do with a building compliance. That is outside the auspices of council. Building compliance is under the QBSA and state government. So then we will move forward through that process, assuming an approval at this point in the process, toward council removing itself from this part of the process and becoming lessee. There have been parking issues raised, and Councillor Boglari is the only person who's noted that the train station is there, and part of the impetus for the revitalisation of Cleveland is to bring outside dollars into the local economy, and that is part of the reason that this has been proposed to be so close to the train station. It is theoretically proposed that the nature of the business will bring a new market and new dollars into our local economy, and the train is key to part of that argument. The other thing that was raised was that perhaps there are other areas that this type of business could go into, and as part of the process leading up to this point, we did look at all of those possible areas and proposed different areas. The areas that Councillor Boglari mentioned are actually private property, so we really can't propose that. They would need to go to the owners of that property and propose it outside of council. But under the Planning Act, the applicant has applied for what they wish to apply for their business, and it has to be assessed, the application as received. I have concerns, like Councillor Boglari, over the hours that are noted in the report and the period that might be authorised, but those are things that I'm advised really will be managed through the lease, and I'm prepared at this point in time to accept that for the purposes of SPA, we can accept the officer's recommendation here, and we can move forward later at a later point to address those other concerns. So I will be supporting this today. Thank you.
Speaker against? Comment, Councillor Gleeson?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This one is really tough items. There's many benefits and there's many negatives out there. I think the biggest problem is this thing's been beaten up a little bit. It's been referred to as the Eat Street Food Market, which it's not. My understanding is that's the name of another operator, so I think that's probably a wrong reference name. This project is, we're talking 10 vans, definitely not the capacity of Eat Street, but what it's done is it's built a little bit of hysteria in the community with residents wanting it. It's also created a bit of fear through the traders who are concerned about what it's going to do to their businesses. And it's just created a bit of a problem out there in the community. There are many pluses. You know, I'm at one point there, it was quite a few years ago now, I managed a national retailer in Cleveland. And the biggest problem with Cleveland trading at the moment is there's not a lot of national retailers that are draw cards and bringing people in. You know, when we advertised, I think from memory it was 10,000 flyers a week we used to put out. And we used to bring people into our store that used to then feed all the other stores, the smaller mum and dad shops around it. So this thing's got the capacity to bring outside people in and increase the market share in Cleveland. But there's also the unknown. Is it going to bring extra additional people in, or is it going to feed from the existing retailers or existing restaurants? When this first came to us, I agreed to that it's worth discussion and further investigation. I was happy to go down that path at the time. At the moment, I'm really torn, because seeing the information that's in here, you know, I don't recall the early steps of 10 a.m. starts, and I understand that might be able to be conditioned in a leasing arrangement. I'm concerned about amplified noise from 10 o'clock in the morning through to 8 or 9 at night in an open space that could potentially travel through the harbour. Who knows until it happens. Essentially, this is not an approval. This is not a done deal today, what we're voting on. And people in the gallery need to be made aware that this is just one of those steps. And I would really like to have had the leasing conditions here today to be able to be included as part of the voting process. Because at the moment, all we can really be asked to vote for is, does it comply with SPAR and the planning system? We're getting advice from the officers that yes, it does. And that's all we can really vote for. We've got to take the emotion out of it and vote it based on facts. In saying that, I would like to see the conditions be really stringent. And I tell you what, if all the concerns from all the residents, from all the councillors here that have been discussed over the last couple of days are conditioned on that lease, this will not be a financially viable project. And until that happens and we see those conditions and we know what we're actually negotiating, all we're doing is building hysteria and fear in the community. And that's a real problem. I would have liked to have seen conditions so that the people in the gallery know exactly what we're voting on for today. But all they know that we're voting on is, does it comply with the planning scheme? And the professional officers and the experts are saying yes. It makes it very, very hard to vote against. Whether you agree with the principle or not, if you remove the emotion, you can really only vote for it. It's a real tough one.
Councillor Hill, I'm not taking second goes. Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Yeah, comment, I take it.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a comment. I just wanted to reiterate that I agree with Councillor Gleeson's comments. There's a perception in the business community, albeit incorrect or whatever, that they're going to have a commercial advantage getting council land. There's a conception out there that they're not going to be paying the same square meterage rate as the commercial businesses do down at Raby Bay Harbourside or indeed in the middle of Cleveland. And so I think what Councillor Gleeson was alluding to is, I fully support it, because after this meeting, whether this gets through or not, if a business operator comes up to me and says, I can't believe you guys are supporting that, I said, well, they're going to be paying the same commercial rate that you do, I feel more comfortable with it. So I just wish in parallel we could have at least had a briefing note on what the leasing arrangement may have been. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hewlett. Comment? Is that a comment, Councillor Hughes?
I think also I'd like to comment on this and truly wish Chefs Inc. all the best. We all agree that we need to support and advance and promote every business in Cleveland and across our city. I share all the concerns of our councillors that have been spoken today, particularly Councillor Gleeson, that's just been reiterated. Personally, I worry that a lot's going to go into this to no avail. So I will support it today, but I am greatly concerned on site and on finance. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hughes. Well, seeing everyone's had a natter, I want to take this opportunity to congratulate Chefs Inc. for having the courage and, as a local, wanting to invest in what has been a burning issue in our city for a number of years, which is the CBD revitalisation. Not only are they investing in the future of the CBD, they're investing in the future of young entrepreneurs. I've written down a couple of words here that I hear roll off the tongues of many people. Let's start with innovation. I haven't seen private enterprise in this particular field in hospitality
deliver a project of innovation of this kind ever in my time in council. It's innovative. It's about giving young chefs an opportunity to provide a opportunity to go into one of those other vacant shops, which, by the way, have been plastered over various forums as being the issue for council over the last 8 years. We're giving these young people, these entrepreneurs, an opportunity to do just that in our city. Entrepreneurs, another word that rolls off the tongue of many. And the minute we have an entrepreneur that provides some innovation, we get worried because it might not work. Yes, it's a risk. It's a risk to do things differently, but guess what? We haven't been doing things differently, and that's why we have a CBD revitalisation requirement in our city. We have to do things different. Should I repeat the words on my whiteboard? We have always done it that way. They're the seven most expensive words in business. So we have to encourage people to do things differently. And today, if we can't give someone the opportunity to invest their own time, money, in a risk that creates the CBD revitalisation, I think we should just completely annihilate the CBD revitalisation package and let's just have business as usual, councillors. And for those people in the business community who think that they can continue to do things the same way while the world is changing around them, I would suggest that you should take this opportunity also to leverage off innovation, entrepreneurs, and potentially risk. I see people in the gallery who over a period of time have had applications before council. And if I was to listen to what has been put forward in various emails to me in regards to the lobbying against this particular application, for those people who have applied for do things differently in their businesses, they would have never got up. And if we took the approach that I have been hearing about, we would have one butcher, one baker, one candlestick maker in the CBD of Cleveland. We did have a candlestick maker. So, you know, I think it's more than just about spa. And yes, we are making a decision on the planning, but we're sending a message out here. If you really want CBD revitalisation, we will have to do things differently. That's why we had an incentive package. If you don't want to, then councillors, let's decide not to do that and keep business as usual. Just on the points in front of us, it is a temporary use. It's 10 years. We don't normally put a limit on the number of years that we give an approval for, except what's provided under the legislation. Can I just encourage people to take a step outside of the boundaries of Redlands? And if you walk through the streets of Brisbane, you will see shipping containers on their footpaths. And they are vibrant spaces. I also remind people that we have a principal activity that is fed by a train line. We are asking for infrastructure from the state. If we don't treat these areas like principal activity centres or major regional centres, we are going to be always begging for something we will never get as far as infrastructure goes. We need to have the support of the state and we need to be doing our bit to encourage economic development in the region. I'm going to repeat what Councillor Gleeson said. This is Chefs Inc. It's not Eat Street. I'm hoping we don't, if this application is successful through the various approvals it will need. We won't have the space that Eat Street has. It is different. It is about young entrepreneurs having an opportunity to start their business without the huge cost that they would face if they had to go into a space somewhere in Cleveland. A reminder that the planning scheme does not determine building structures. It actually determines the uses, and that's what we're talking about today. I'm just responding to some of the things that we've heard around the room. Unfortunately, local government has to go through certain processes, and we heard about the tender process before, and we should have gone through a tender process. I can tell you now that every tender process kills an element of innovation in our city because you cannot expose a good idea. I also question that when we talk about amenity, we're talking about a bitumen car park with a tin shed, and we're concerned that a couple of extra containers are going to make that so much worse. It's bitumen. It's not a building. It's not a statue. It's bitumen. I don't believe economics of the area are compromised by doing something differently. In fact, they're being improvised. We're encouraging people to do things differently, and our job as government is to get out of the way and let people have a go. Issues of noise, well, we're right next to a train station, for goodness sake. We're in a principal activity centre. We heard about many of the things that issues that have been raised today can be addressed in a lease document, but it's important to note, if you want this to happen, there has to be some flexibility and compromise to allow someone to have a go at doing something differently. We heard about taking the community on the journey. Well, at the moment, the community on a journey, to Hamilton, to Eat Street, and we've seen that result when we look at the polls on the Redland City Bulletin in regards to people's desire to want to stay local and experience those sorts of hospitality businesses. We heard about the owner's risk. The owner's risk is the owner's risk, just like it's any other business's risk when they open their doors. And there will be costs involved. In fact, they've probably gone through significant costs just to get to this point, based on the fact that we've had a memorandum of understanding. We want to encourage this sort of business in our CBD. We also heard about the commerciality of using our land to help out other private enterprise. We do it every single day. We have markets. We have on our showgrounds. Last week we had Greasefest. We do lease out our land to whether it be community organisations or commercial organisations, and we do it for two reasons. We do it because we want to promote the community or the economic opportunities in our city. I'll say what I said to Brian in the back there in regards to the local businesses. I understand it's a challenge, and Cleveland CBD in particular is a challenge because it's the end of the train line. We are looking to change the perception of the area. I ask them, having been in business myself, to look at the opportunities that new business brings to you and leverage off them and work with them, because we are hoping that this will attract a completely different market. It's not the people that will go and put their money in the pokies at the RSL. It's not likely to be the people who will go and spend their money over at the Raby Bay Harbour side. It's people who are going to be new to our area, and we'll be welcoming them to come back and do other things in other parts of the area. So I'm encouraging them to take their own sort of narrow business view, which I appreciate is really important in paying your bills and keeping your staff employed, but see this as a broader opportunity to put the Cleveland CBD on the map. So thank you. I appreciate that, you know, it's difficult, but we're not, as has been said, we're here for the public interest, and it's been very clear to me over a period of time that people expect the CBD of Cleveland to be revitalised, and we have to do things differently to do that. The planning scheme allows this to happen. It's a principal activity centre. It's at the end of a train line, and if you can't do that here in Cleveland, I would suggest that you can't do it anywhere in the Redlands. So there is a lot more work to be done, building approvals, the health and safety elements, etc., the lease arrangements. But this Principal Activity Centre is designed to allow this type of innovation and entrepreneurs to invest in our city. And once again, I'm going to finish where I started. I want to congratulate the owners of Chefs Inc. for having the courage to approach this council and see what the opportunities were to work with us to revitalise Cleveland. Sum up, Councillor.
Mayor, could you just allude to the lease will be available at some time for public view? That was mentioned yesterday.
We talked about the commercial and confidence elements of it, but yes, I'll get the CEO to talk about that.
Generally, councillors, as I described yesterday, our leases, when we go through the discussion, are commercial in confidence through that, and then there is also a resolution on the books from Councillor Elliott, I can't remember the exact date, which makes all our commercial in confidence documents due to be put up. But I think, again, if we get agreement of both parties, we could make the lease agreements without some of the financials, I would imagine, freely available, and we would probably put a range, I'm anticipating here, but that we would put a range of the commercial terms in there. So I wouldn't get down to specifics, I would imagine, but we would put them in the range of, you know, the lease costs and those type of things.
Sum up, Councillor Elliott.
Thanks, Mayor. Well, I think it's all been said and done, and you eloquently put it in the end. I don't think I want to wind any more people up, so I'm happy to move the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. So with that, councillors, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Okay, motion is carried. Those in favour? Councillor Mitchell, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Williams, those against, Councillor Boglari, Councillor Golay, and Councillor Bishop. Thank you, Councillor. Back to the agenda, councillors. You're right, no. It's all good, I've just got to get my... All right, councillors, page four. Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, item 11.1.1.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Item 11.1.1, operational plan, quarterly performance report, June 2016. I move the officer's recommendation to note the report.
Moved Councillor Edwards, seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Edwards?
Very briefly, this report is the final progress report of the operational plan 2015-16. The operational plan 15-16 forms an important part of Council's strategic planning and sets out the work Council plan to deliver towards the achievement of the corporate plan 2015 to 2020. There are 32 completed projects, 3 carried forward for ongoing monitoring and 40 included in the operational plan 2016-17. All the details of each project are within the report and I'm satisfied with the overall progress and support the recommendation.
Okay, any speakers against? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and appreciate always the aligning of any of our policies and procedures that keep our eye on the ball, which is fantastic and great to see officers doing great work in that space. And I asked a few questions yesterday which the officers have responded to, which has been great. One thing I just want to refer to in relation to the Birkdale Commonwealth-owned lands is that one of the actions is that council has some plans to look at that space and in its terms of its acquisition and future use. One of the things that we've done is paused that process in terms of doing further studies. I have my own personal views about that, but note that we are having a some information brought back to councillors in September. I just think that it's important that we continue to involve the community to some degree on what the future use of that land would be, and I mourn the fact that we don't have those strategic research things continuing so that we can be clear about strategy, about what limitations exist on the site, and also what opportunities come about as a result of being fully aware of those issues. But that's all. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Bishop. Councillor Hughes, a comment?
Quick comment. I'd just like to commend the officers for their explanations. Watching this go through now a couple of cycles, the alignment, the professionalism, and when we do have questions, the response, I just note that Louise was still responding to us last night at 9:34 p.m. Thank you very much. And we did get that and we did respond back. Ta.
Our general managers don't sleep. Any other comments, councillors? We don't let them. I'll get you to sum up, Councillor Edwards, if there are no more comments.
Nothing to the right.
Okay, councillors, with that I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Item 11.2. I forget the numbering, I think. the decisions made under delegated authority, Councillor Elliott, I believe you're moving those. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Seconded Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott?
No, it's just keeping me.
Any comments or questions, councillors? There being none, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried. Councillor Gleeson is absent. Councillor Elliott, 11.2.2.
Thank you, Mayor. 11.2.2, appeals list as of the 28th of July 2016. I'd just like to move the officer's recommendation be accepted.
So moved. Seconded Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor?
I have no comment to make, but Councillor Hughes appears she wants to ask the question.
Bearing in mind this is an appeal, so the information will be limited. But Councillor Hughes, comment or question?
Just comment again that we note that we've got two new listings. Thank you very much. But our listings are, I believe, a very good, only 7 in the system. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think we got a bit of an explanation from our general counsel in regards to that. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Back to you, Councillor Elliott. No. I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. And Councillor Gleeson is absent.
Next item is Delegated Authority Chief Executive Officer, 11.3.1 on your agenda. Councillor Mitchell, will you be moving that? Move, Councillor Mitchell. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Mitchell?
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. This relates to some very expensive and very essential and specialist equipment. So Council in this case has very limited choice of supplier, but is always on the lookout each year for competitors to help us offer the best value.
Oh. So 11, Delegated Authority, 11.3.1.
That's to the pump.
No. Yes.
Yep. Yep. To the pump.
No. No, he's talking about the pump.
Talking about the pump. Thanks for your attention, everyone, though. Keeping me honest, that's wonderful. Thank you all.
A question to you, but it's not an exclusive contract. But it's what I've was flagged got caught me that this is just a delegation.
Yeah. Just to get a correction on that, it's just a delegation because it exceeds what the current delegation is allowed for CEO.
Great. Just getting there. But thanks, everyone. Happy to move the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Mitchell. Any other speakers on that, councillors? A question? A speaker against? Comment? Councillor Hewlett?
Council has established protocols. We've delegated $2 million authority to the CEO to act on Council's behalf through delegations. This is going to be well over $2 million, and I just would rather have seen this come forward as a report with a valuation of the tenders. You know, we set these systems in place for a reason. If it's over $2 million, I would have rather have seen this come to a report back to Council in a public meeting so we could see the tenderers and the evaluation. I mean, I don't know if it's as urgent as implied here because it's been going on for quite some time. I know this is my procurement history kicking in, but I would just like to see a report come to Council in future. Thank you.
I will get a comment on that, but my understanding would be that it could not be discussed in public forum anyway because of commercial and confidence elements. So what you get now is a report. Certainly those documents are available to all councillors if they need to view them, and I would encourage you to do so to sort of understand how it's dealt with. But my understanding, and I'll take advice, that you couldn't necessarily decide this in public forum anyway, that with the tender documents attached at least. I'll ask for some advice. No.
Sorry, on these ones they wouldn't be.
But look, we appreciate your interest in it, and as we've discussed previously, I'd encourage you when these come forward that you meet with the relevant general manager and view those documents. But this is the report that comes forward as a result of the delegations and protocols that have been set. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a comment and acknowledging, yes, this is in many regards business as usual, and in Division 10, certainly in an area that will greatly benefit, and totally support that. Just in line with what Councillor Hewlett was suggesting, there's just a section in the under issues in the report that just suggests that the alternative is for Council officers to evaluate and recommend and then send a report to Council for approval for the awarding of a specific contract and associated delegation. This may take up to 3 to 4 weeks, add up to 3 to 4 weeks to the process. I think it's really around that that we've kind of known this would be likely to be coming, and it would be nice to be involved with that process and, yes, to know the questions to ask and so forth. Appreciate that. It's just this being in the document suggesting if you say no now, there would be a hold-up. I would prefer to be on the inside of that process, and so I'm just going to support Councillor Hewlett with that, and I'm sure it's something that we can manage going forward, just to make sure that that's all, as Councillor Hewlett would appreciate. Thank you.
I might two things. I might get Gary to respond to the timing, and obviously it's in your area, and also I guess is also what we often talk about. I hear you talking about, Councillor Bishop, is that separation of powers and providing that delegation. So Gary, would you mind just quickly explaining the time frame, etc.?
I suppose through you, and thank you, Madam Mayor. With a project of this size, we are talking very large pumps. They are not off-the-shelf pumps. They are generally German manufacture or Finnish. They're generally a European manufacturer. Of generally 6 to 8 month lead time in securing those pumps. We generally have everything done and just waiting for those pumps to arrive. And of course, the way our capital works program goes, as councillors would know, it is a challenge to deliver the capital works program to its finality every year, and this does get us ahead of the game from that perspective. As the Mayor did mention, more than happy to share with councillors the full evaluation reports as soon as they're available from there. But because of the council cycle, if we bring these reports back to council, and as the Mayor suggested, they would be discussed in confidential, you are adding another 4 weeks to the process.
Councillor Elliott, comment?
Mayor, I think we've wandered off the subject. If you want something in the financial, it should say that all the tenders exceeded the delegation of the CEO. That's all I want to know. Because it's not about the tender, it's about it's exceeded this delegation level. And I think if you're going to do that, you don't need to go to the looking at the tender. If they all come in, there were 2, 2.2, or 2.1, 2.3, 2.7, it would just say the complying tender exceeded the CEO's delegation. End of story. That's all you need to put in that report to say, yeah, he needs a tech.
But, yeah. We'll just get the officers to note that, I think, and if that's something that can be... Yep. This is a business as usual approach. We have set delegations and we've discussed them previously. Do we really need any more discussion? Okay, I'll put the motion then, councillors. Unless we've got Peter Mitchell would like to talk, Councillor Mitchell would like to speak to it further.
Quite happy to move forward.
Okay, so I'll put the motion. Those in favour, those against. Motion is carried. Those in favour. We have Councillor Boglari, Mitchell, Edwards, Elliott, Hughes, Tolte, Gleeson. Those against, those against, Councillor Hewlett and Councillor Bishop. Councillor Golay was absent for the vote. Thank you. 11.3.2, Councillor Mitchell.
Yeah, happy to move that motion. It's just fairly business as usual. There's a list of 49...
One minute. Move the motion and I'll get a seconder.
I'll move the motion.
Moved motion, Councillor Mitchell. Seconder, Councillor Tolte. There you go. On your horse, Councillor Mitchell.
Great. This is, business as usual. It's a list of 49 suppliers. The only reasonably available to supply the goods or services required by council that's just seeking our authorisation on that. So thank you.
Any other questions on that? Question, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you. Through you, Mayor, thank you to Gary Souter. Thanks, Gary. Yesterday I had queried this list, and you sent through last year's list. I understood we were working the list down, but there's there's 10 more names been added to the list since last year. Thank you.
We have, as councillors would be aware, we are currently under construction for Point Lookout Wastewater Treatment Plant. There is a vast amount of equipment that has been added to that that we have never had before, and that's why the list has expanded this year.
Thank you, Gary. I think it was a general statement by our general counsel in regards to over time, but it's obviously popped up again in numbers. Any other questions? Back to you, Councillor Mitchell. Anything to add?
Nothing
I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Okay, 11.3.3 on our agenda. I'm not quite sure who was moving that. Councillor Mitchell, happy to move that?
Yep, happy to move
Councillor
that.
Mitchell, seconded Councillor Bishop.
Speak to it. Yes, this endorsement of the cycle network plan priority route maps, it's state infrastructure planning and therefore state funds. So I think let's grab it with both hands and then into the future try and link this good infrastructure with our own local cycle networks and pathways as able. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Mitchell. Any speakers against? comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Just in our discussion with regards to this, it's not necessarily clear to us the prioritisation that the state government has in terms of how they identify those priorities. I think there might be a few anomalies, and certainly in the instance of Thornside, I know there are many cyclists who very much appreciate coming down the beautiful Thornside Road, going down Queen's Esplanade and along up past Aquatic Paradise, much to the chagrin of some early morning residents. But it's a very regularly used thoroughfare, and I think that there's some discussions to be had going forward, and I'll take that up with the State Department and talk with officers about how we might raise that as a priority, because it's unprioritised. I actually think that on the ground there's much more regular use of that than I think their officers might be aware of. I haven't received information back on that, but it's just an outstanding issue. I think that this needs to be clarified with the state. And also in relation to the Rickett Road connection going into Brisbane City, I do think that that should be prioritised as a cycleway thoroughfare with a higher priority than it currently is. Thank you, that's all.
I'm sure every councillor has a priority in their division. As was discussed yesterday, we don't have a great deal of input into this list. This is the state government's opportunity, or gives us an opportunity to attract some decent, albeit not enough, funding for some of our regional bikeways. Gary, I might just get you to comment on that and repeat what was said yesterday, just so it's clear for the gallery, and then I'll go to Councillor Bocklary.
I do apologise. You councillors may not have read it yet. I did forward you some information during the general meeting on how the priorities were put together, and I apologise I could not get that to you earlier. But the major input does come from our Redland Cycling and Pedestrian Plan, which is currently going to be under review as part of our new Redlands Transport Planning Strategy from that side of it, and that defines our trunk cycleway network. Yes, I do acknowledge there are gaps in it, and as we do this review this year, we will be seeking input and fixing those gaps.
Thank you. Probably just a timely reminder, councillors, that when you get your agendas Thursday of the week before, to give officers time to get that information to you rather than waiting for our pre-meetings. If you find those questions, would you forward them with a few more days advance, because obviously they have their day job as well, and getting that information in a timely fashion would, I'm sure, be beneficial to everybody when we're having those discussions on the Tuesday prior to Wednesday. Councillor Bocklary, that's covered now. You're all good? No?
Yep, I was just going to say our local priority list is still there. This is just on a regional South East Queensland network basis.
Yep. And we look forward to taking as much funding as we can from the state government on anything at any time, anywhere, as long as it's in Redlands. Okay. Anything else on that, councillors? Any other discussion? Councillor Mitchell, do you want to sum up?
Just briefly. I'm very pleased to hear, actually, that there is a little bit more input, perhaps, from our internal cycle group network. That'll be great. That's good information. I'll certainly join with Councillor Bishop in just supporting my fellow councillor in getting that input to it. So yeah, I'd love to see our cycle networks greatly enhanced and linked up. So that's good news all around. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mitchell. I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Councillors, the next item is the 16.1.1, which is in closed session. I ask that we move into closed session. I think we actually need a minor amendment in regards to the motion, so I think we do probably need to have that discussion with you. It's nothing major, it's just to ensure the commercial and confidence element. So move into confidential. Councillor Bocklary, seconded Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. I thank the thank Brian and Mark. An amended motion there. Councillor Elliott is moving the amended motion, seconded by Councillor Gleeson. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. Item 16.2.1, moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bocklary. Councillor Edwards, did you?
I'd like to declare a conflict of interest.
It's a material personal interest.
Material personal interest, as a company I've an interest in may be considering buying a property at that auction.
Thank you.
Don't go
too far.
Madam Mayor, I'm going to declare a potential material...
personal interest.
Personal interest also. I'm also potentially looking at one of those blocks on that list.
Okay. See you later. Yeah. Anybody else? All right, councillors. Okay, councillors. So I'll put them up. We're recording, by the way. Okay. I put the motion, councillors. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried, and Councillor Edwards and Councillor Gleeson are absent due to their declared interests. Get them back in. Item 16.2.2, moved Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Mitchell. Those in favour? Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. I close the meeting at 11:36. I think it's probably...